Hi, it's Rabbi Jim Egolf. I want to thank you so much for joining me this week as we go through Parshat Vayera. This is also the Shabbat of Interfaith Ways, which is a citywide interfaith event in Philadelphia. Well, we're going to talk a little bit about interfaith, talk a little bit about outreach, and talk about some of the secrets that I've learned in being a rabbi for now going into my 14th year. I thank you so much for joining me. You can email me at rav, as in Victor, J-I-M, at AOL.com, or you can call me at 610-624-3441. Again, thank you so much for joining me, and shalom. Shabbat Shalom. I want to welcome all of you to Beth David this evening because of this special Shabbat. As you may know, or may not know, this is the Interfaith Ways Shabbat in Philadelphia, and that's a citywide effort to do some outreach to the community. When we use this word outreach, well, let me tell you a story. About a year ago, I was asked to speak to a group here at Beth David about outreach. Many of the people in the room were and are lay leaders in the congregation. And I asked them to define the word outreach. There was a pause. A couple of exchanges of nervous glances shot across the room. Then one of the participants piped up and said that they had often heard this term used regarding interfaith families. They were right, that in the Reform movement, we have often used this term to talk about how we approach interfaith families. And yet at the same time, the term outreach has to do with how we approach families, even where there is a shared official faith. So going forward, when I use the word outreach, it's not just how we relate to families where there are different birth faiths. It also has to do with the way we share our Judaism in a positive way to impart, teach, or convert. Let me share some stories of outreach with you, times when we have reached out to others and made a real difference in their lives and had an impact. And there's probably no better place to start than this week's Torah portion. Many people gloss over the first episode in Vayera of the Torah portion and fail to appreciate the outreach in this moment. The story goes that Abraham was sitting by the entrance of his tent. He was a bit sore, having just circumcised himself at the age of 99, and it was hot. Not just any hot, but the heat was oppressive to the point that it is expressed in poetic fashion, kechom hayom, which might be considered the hottest of sweltering, sweaty days. Regardless of the setting, Abraham raises his eyes to see strangers approaching the camp. What to do? This is the moment of outreach. Abraham leaves the safety and comfort of just sitting, and the text tells us that he does not walk. He runs to meet the strangers in the middle of this miserable day in his wounded condition. He does not wait in the tent for the strangers to knock, though I'm still trying to figure out how you would knock on a tent flap. Abraham does not remain at the entrance for the strangers to approach him. He does not give the excuses of the heat or his physical ailment so that he avoids the action described. Abraham runs. He reaches out. He engages. and he is nothing short of gracious in his meeting as he bows low to the ground. This, though, is not enough. Abraham has water brought forth to wash the stranger's feet. He asks them that they take a morsel of bread with him. A morsel, we find out, is really a kid goat from the flock, bread of 27 cups of flour, and curds. It is, by our standards, over the top, being more like enough food to feed a small army, or at least a couple of teenagers, rather than just a granola bar and some juice. Abraham does outreach. It does not matter that he did not know the identity of the three men. He did outreach. He did not wait to be approached. He approached. He did not wait to be greeted. He greeted. He did not wait to be asked for food. He brought it forth. Abraham ignored his own comfort, went beyond worrying about his own needs, to go out of his way to respond to the needs of others. This is a wonderful model for outreach. Let me be clear. Abraham's was not outreach to interfaith families. It's not outreach to people who are MOTs, that's members of the tribe. It is not even outreach to divine beings, which according to the text are what these strangers appear to be, since they kind of can predict the future, and then they proceed on to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. It is outreach because it is an expression of the soul of Abraham to others, and it is how he sees himself being blessed, not because he gets something out of welcoming these three men, but because the welcome he displays is the expression of his own soul. He is not even offended when they do not partake of the meal. Granted, according to Jewish tradition, angels don't eat, even though the text tells us that they do eat, but let's not get hung up on details. Abraham was caught up in the expression of who he was to others, even when they may not have taken what he offered in the way we might usually expect. When we arrive at a Shabbat like this and a discussion of interfaith families, we often miss the point of the conversation. The question of welcoming and embracing interfaith families is not one about the family. It is about us. It is about how open we are and now how we perceive the tent or the synagogue in which we sit. Beyond the realm of religious ceremony, how do we welcome not just interfaith families, but anyone? Do we wait for anyone to walk into our tent because they find themselves in need of religious services? And then do we wonder why they leave because we provided them the service, but we did not run to embrace them in our community because of who we are? In a board meeting in another city, not Beth David, we had some local institutions of higher education. As we were talking around the table, the question arose as to whether or not we were doing outreach to the local Jewish college students. Many around the table indicated, with some degree of indignation, that in their opinion, we reached out to these students. And finally, I asked the question, and exactly what is it that we do that would be considered outreach? The answer, a little embarrassed, was, well, Rabbi, we'd never turn them away. I'm not really sure of a congregation that would ever turn anyone away. However, the minute we think that this is outreach, we're confusing a few issues. Unlocking the door is only the first step to outreach. It's a good first step, but then there's work, like in Abraham's case, which is difficult and uncomfortable. But we do it because of who we are and the messages we want to share that our congregation embraces and wants others to come to understand and feels that they might value their lives higher and find more value for their lives if they too embraced the values that we hold. In my life as a rabbi, now going on 14 years, here are some of the secrets, or perhaps not so secrets, I have learned. Probably first and foremost is that I can be anyone's rabbi, and any synagogue can be a synagogue for all people when we have a sense of trust. There are many who enter into a synagogue and don't know how to embrace a sense of trust with the religious leader or with the community. I've had the privilege, I should say, of being the rabbi to many Jews, and I've been the rabbi to many non-Jews as well. Just this past week, I found myself being rabbinic and being a rabbi to someone who I had never met, who wasn't a Jew. Yet it did not matter, because it's what I did that made a difference. You may have heard that we hosted the Penn Future event this past week. Check out page 12 of your Jewish Exponent or the show notes for details. I was asked to present on the question, why are we talking about global warming at a synagogue? I answered the question based on some Heschel and many things I hold that are important. For example, I can only count 6 incandescent light bulbs in my entire house, and 3 have to be incandescent. So, to date, we're CFL certified, I think, almost. But back to this person who came. When a teacher at a Christian seminary emailed me to share how I had created a sense of embrace for this issue in a religious context, it was a moment of outreach. Whether or not the people who sit in our pews or whose families send their children to Beth David are Jews or not, we still have the ability to inspire when we set our direction and have honesty about why we do what we do and talk about what we hold as important. So secret number one is that we should never sell ourselves short and say that any message we share is only for Jews. In reality, we have an impact when we clearly share what is important and enduring to both Judaism and the human condition or concern. Number two is that many, if not most Jews, who find themselves in a synagogue really do like Jews and are inclined to seeing their children raised as Jews and should be honored and thanked for their commitment. It is amazing that in our culture of thanks, and by that phrase I mean the culture where if Amazon.com doesn't send you a thank you for your business, they think you'll go to another website the next time you buy something. It is amazing in this culture that we don't thank our non-Jewish parents more for the commitment they make to raise their children in a different religion. I have often seen the non-Jewish parents running carpool more than the Jewish parent. The involvement of the non-Jew is sometimes at the cost of their own sense of comfort, since they're never really sure when it might be brought to their attention or the attention of the people who they are with that they are not official members of the tribe. While this might be true, let's be honest. There are Jews, and then there's the Jewish community. In North America today, many who live in the Jewish community are not Jewish. They're not Jews, and yet they cast their lot with our congregations and communities, and they should hear the thank you that is so often missing for their dedication and commitment. Secret number three is that while conversion is right for some people, it is not a magic silver bullet. During the 1980s, Alexander Schindler of blessed memory, former president of the Union for Reform Judaism, or at that time the Union of American Hebrew Congregations, began to make a push for the religiously non-preferenced to choose Judaism as their faith. I think in Christian terms they're called the unchurched. Truly, if someone is looking to change faiths, Judaism offers many different theological and practical and worship possibilities. But it is not, as many say, the be-all and end-all answer that will make what others, and I have to be very clear here, what others have defined as, quote, the problem, and I need to say that that's the language of others, of interfaith marriage, go away. Conversion is a highly personal journey and decision that is made one person at a time, one soul at a time. As many of you may remember, in the 1990s, at about the time that Madonna found Kabbalah, was also about the time when Helen Hunt briefly was married to Hank Azaria. When I put my rabbinic hat on about this moment, I thought, you know, if Helen Hunt showed up to my office to convert, she's welcome, but Madonna may need to find a different rabbi. As many of you may have read, Ivanka Trump is now in the process of converting to Judaism. However, if they call me for the Beit Din, well, let's just say that I'd like to know more. Conversion to Judaism is no more or less a daunting journey of the soul than anyone who is Jewish entertaining making a true faith commitment to become a Muslim or a Christian. For those who travel this road to Judaism, Yisher Koach, which means may you have strength. In the end, outreach has to be about more than just targeted marketing by a synagogue or a community. It has to be about remembering the journey a soul takes in this life, and that the greatest soul connections are not made through programs or buildings, but they're made between souls. And that when we understand that the extension of our souls is required, has to be risked in order to engage the souls of others, then we'll begin to understand that it's not just about outreach, it's about soul reach to people who we would like to have within our tent and within our communities. I wish you the best of weeks. Shalom.